We're going to be in Luke chapter 6 this morning. If you want to open your Bibles and begin turning there. I don't know if over the weekend, did you get your shopping done? You run out in the Fast and the Fury and get out there and find all sorts of good deals and neat things. You know, this time of year is filled with a lot of that busyness, the shopping, the presents, the activity, the food and the fun. And there's a lot to be done and a lot of activities to get to. And I feel like this time of year, there's a lot of pressure on us to feel very discontented. A lot of the advertisements, a lot of the attitude and the general mindset of our culture is be discontent with the things that you have so that you cast those things aside and come out and buy brand new things. So whether it was that new gadget or gizmo that you got last year, maybe the year before, we're supposed to feel discontent with that now because the newest, latest, greatest has come out and they only changed one or two things. But really, if you want to have the best, you need to have this new gizmo or gadget. Certainly, that's the type of marketing that is aimed at our children, that they need to have more and better stuff to be able to enjoy life. And the surprising reality of our message, or the text this morning, is that Jesus Christ also wants us to be discontented, but discontented about the right things. This world wants us to be discontent about the stuff that we have, so we go out and buy more stuff. But Jesus Christ wants us to be discontented with the things of this world, so that we can find our contentment in Him. That's what we find in Luke chapter 6. For a little bit of the context here, Jesus has just called His apostles, as He's named them. An apostle simply means His messengers. And just a few verses before, you can see that list in verses 12 through 16 of those He called and set apart as apostles. And now coming down off the mountain where He's prayed and where He's named these apostles, He begins teaching His disciples, His apostles, about what it means to follow Jesus Christ. And we have here in Luke chapter 6 an echo of a very well-known passage in Matthew chapter 5 and following of the Sermon on the Mount. Here in Luke, it's often called the Sermon on the Plain, and there's no contradiction going on there. And we have Luke's account and a record of the things Jesus taught there. And it begins very much the same way of the Sermon on the Mount beginning, but with some subtle differences that are especially suited for us during this time and this season. Again, Jesus wants us to see that we are to be discontent, but to be discontent with the things of the world, so that instead we find our contentment, our joy, our happiness in Jesus Christ. So would you stand together as we read in Luke chapter 6? We'll begin in verse 20 today. Looking at His disciples, He, Jesus, said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who hunger now, for you will be satisfied. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you, when they exclude you, when they insult you and reject your name as evil because of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, because great is your reward in heaven. For that is how their ancestors treated the prophets. But woe to you who are rich, for you have already received your comfort. Woe to you who are well fed now, for you will go hungry. Woe to you who laugh now, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to you when everyone speaks well of you, for that is how their ancestors treated the false prophets." Let us pray. So, Father, we ask now that You would make Your Word clear to us. Let it sink deep down into our hearts and transform us into the image of Christ that You've called us to be. It's in Your Son's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. As I said, Jesus here is inviting us to be discontented about the right things. He invites us for several reasons to be discontented about the things of this world. The first reason He invites us to be discontent with the things of this world is because the things of this world, the best this world has to offer, is actually dangerous to our souls. Do you see how James talks about this? That was Sunday school this morning. How Luke records this, these words of Jesus here. He talks and pronounces blessing on those who don't have the things and the accoutrements of this world, the poor, those who are lacking in basic necessities, the hungry, those who are sorrowful and don't have the comforts of this world, who are weeping now, and those who face the difficulties and struggles of this world, who are hated and excluded and insulted. In fact, he pronounces a woe, a curse on those who have everything this world has to offer, those who are financially well off, those who are rich and have material prosperity. He pronounces a curse on those who have the comforts of this world, who are well fed. He pronounces a woe. He pronounces a curse on those who have the entertainments of this world, who are laughing now and enjoying all that this world has to offer. And he pronounces a curse on those who have the social acclaim of this world, who are well spoken of and well liked and well enjoyed in this world. This is a staggering difference from how the framework of the world of the day of Jesus' time and of our time. In Jesus' day, the disciples understood that wealth and prosperity and a good standing in society was a blessing from God. And those who had it must be on the right course of life. It must be succeeding and doing well and prospering. They had God's blessing and God's favor. And those who were facing hardships in life, those who are down and out and hard on their luck and not prosperous and facing sickness and diseases, those people, well, God was mad at them. And they faced God's opposition. And they needed to correct their way and correct their life and to get on the right course and the right path. But Jesus comes, as always, Jesus always does, and he flips things on their heels. And he turns things over and says, no, those lacking in the things of this world actually have something one up on those who have everything of this world. Because those who have everything of this world have something in their life that begins to crowd out and push out the things of God. You see, the things of this world, wealth and prosperity and having the best of this life, is actually a danger to our souls. Do we see it as such? Because it has a crowding effect. It begins to push out the things of God. It begins to distract. It puts on blinders, as it were, so that we only see the things of distraction, the things that this world can offer, and pushes to the margins and pushes to the sides the things that God has called us to, the salvation that He offers. This was seen in Jesus' ministry. A man once came to Jesus, and we're told he was a rich young ruler. He had everything you could have asked for in that time. He was financially prosperous. He was young, healthy, and vital. And he had power. He was a ruler. And he comes to Jesus and says, Jesus, what will it be to enter the kingdom of God? What do I need to do? And Jesus begins to instruct him about keeping the commandments. And the rich young ruler, with a sense of pride, steps back and says, Lord, I've done those things. And then Jesus invites him. He invites him to turn from his idols, the very thing that would keep him out of the kingdom of God. He sees what's crowded out Jesus in his life. And he invites him to receive Jesus Christ. And he says, okay, if you would inherit the kingdom of God, here it is. I'm going to lay it on the line. Let go of the things of this world, your material prosperity. Just give it all away and follow me. And you know what the scriptures say? That rich young ruler, he couldn't do it. He went away very sorrowful because he wanted the things of God, but he was unwilling to let go of what this world offered him. He was still enslaved to his idol, his material prosperity, his acclaim and social standing, his youth and vitality. He couldn't let go of those things and lay them down for Jesus Christ. And after that, Jesus turns to his disciples and he says these astounding words. In Luke 18, he says, how hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God. Indeed, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God. Those words should rest heavily upon us. Because we are a nation and a culture of prosperity. The very fact that we can dump the old thing we got last year and go buy the new thing this year points to our wealth and our well-being. And we need to understand, as Jesus is pointing out here, that is a danger to our souls. We can become content with the things of this world, the comfort this world offers, and become so contented that we cast Jesus aside. See Him as a nice little extra to bring out at the holiday time. It's something that's pleasant to think upon from time to time, but not as one we have laid our life down to. My friends, let us not be blinded. Let the things of this world not crowd out the things of Jesus Christ. And so I invite you during this season, as we are headed quickly toward that Christmas season, I invite you to take stock of your life and just simply ask the question, how are you being blinded? How are the things of this world crowding out the things of God in your life? Maybe Jesus invites you to let go of some of the things of this world so that you can have more of the things of God during this season. The second reason Jesus invites us to be discontented with what this world has to offer is because Jesus offers something better. So the things this world has to offer isn't all that great, first of all. We are actually spiritually endangered by the things of this world because they can distract and crowd them out. But Jesus, secondly, offers something far better than what this world has to offer. You see, blessed are the poor. Why? Why are the poor blessed? Because theirs is the kingdom of God. Jesus offers something that this world can't offer. This world can offer power. It can offer control. It can offer rulership over a people for a time and a season. But Jesus offers the kingdom of God. There's so much more than anything you'll find in this world. To rule and to reign with Christ is far greater than to rule and to reign even over the most vast territories of this world. Jesus offers the very kingdom of God to us if we would receive it. He offers that we will be satisfied. Those who hunger now will be satisfied. Oh, how wonderful it would be to be satisfied with the richness and the bounty and the blessings that God provides. You can't find that in any catalog. It's not offered on Amazon. God richly provides a bounty and a satisfaction that this world can't touch. A deep contentment and fulfillment that can endure the most loss of everything in this world. Jesus offers true satisfaction. He offers true joy. You see this, blessed are those who weep now, for you will laugh. Those who endure the difficulties of this life and endure in weeping will one day rejoice in the kingdom of God. There will be joy and gladness in the kingdom of God far beyond any joy you've experienced in this life. And I hope that you have indeed experienced great joys in this life. But take that moment of your greatest joy, that moment of a child being born, of that moment of receiving something you've always wanted, that joy of being married or whatever it is. And magnify it a million times over. Eternal joys are at the right hand of God the Father. And God offers something greater. He offers reward in heaven. Verse 23. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy because great is your reward in heaven. No, we're not supposed to be dour in this time and to just be self-abasing because there's just all this world is awful and, well, we're just going to be sourpusses about it. No, we're called and invited to seek a greater reward, a greater joy than anything this world has to offer. All the riches of this world are nothing compared to the rewards of the kingdom of God. In fact, Jesus talks about this and says, look, the things of this world will pass away. They will fade. They will tarnish. They will turn to dust one day. They won't last. They have no enduring power. But lay up for yourselves, what does Jesus say? Treasures in heaven. Moth can't touch that. Thieves can't steal that. Those are the true rewards. Jesus gives another illustration of someone who struggled to see the rewards of heaven. He talked about a man who received great things in this life. He had planted a harvest, and he had a bountiful harvest, and it seems as though he's had bountiful harvest for year upon year now. And he's got so much of a harvest, you may have passed by some of the grain elevators, and they have the harvest piled outside the grain elevators because there's not even room anymore. Well, that was this man's problem. He had his harvest piled outside his grain elevators because he had nowhere else to store it, nowhere else to keep it. And he said, what am I going to do? I have so much of what this world provides. I know what I'll do. I'll tear down all of this, and I'm going to build bigger ones. It'll be so grand, and I'm going to be set for life. I'm going to have everything I need. You remember what Jesus said? He said to that man, "You fool. You settled for the things of this world. You settled for what this world provides. And this very night, your soul will be required of you. And then whose will these things be? They're nobody's. They don't go with you. You can't keep them." Oh, how foolish that man was to settle for the things of this world when Jesus offers so much greater. What will it profit a man to gain the whole world and yet forfeit his soul? He loses everything. She loses everything. And so Jesus invites us today to settle for the greatest reward of all, to seek what He offers and what He richly provides. It was Jim Elliot, that famous missionary, who said, "He is no fool who gives up what he cannot keep to gain that which he cannot lose." And so today I invite you, my friends, to gain what you cannot lose. Salvation in Jesus Christ. Inheritance in the kingdom of heaven. That's offered freely in Jesus Christ today. You can receive that today where you are seated right now. You see, Jesus Christ came into this world and called His disciples, and He went to a cross and died for you and for me. He laid down His life so that by giving up all that He had, we could gain everything. And He invites us to it. He doesn't charge for it, but He calls you to lay down your life for it, to give your all to Him. So today I invite you, if you're discontent with what this world has to offer, to come to Jesus Christ today and receive the eternal reward offered in Him. The third reason Jesus invites us to be discontent with this world, what this world has to offer, is that if we do in fact seek the greater things, if we do in fact go after what Jesus Christ has to offer, we'll quickly find that this world will turn on us. This world will oppose us. It will stand against us. That's what He's speaking of here, of what's happening. He talks about those who are insulted, rejected, hated, and reviled in this world because of the name of the Son of Man. And He calls us to be like the prophets of old and endure like the prophets of old. You remember the prophets of old, don't you? They didn't have great lives. Very few of the prophets of old do we look back and say, "Whoa, I hope I live like he did." You think of Jeremiah, who's put in the stocks and moth. He's dropped in a cistern and basically left for dead. Who everybody opposed because all the false prophets of his day were saying, "God's going to save us. Jerusalem's going to be rescued." And there was Jeremiah with the bad news saying, no, guys. God's going to let this place be destroyed because of our sin." And Jeremiah didn't have a great uplifting message, you know. And so they opposed him and ridiculed and reviled him. But we're called to be like Jeremiah. We think of Moses who endured, Moses. We're learning about him right now through Pastor's series, right? And Moses who endured the people for 40 years in the wilderness, stubborn and obstinate and talking about the melons back in Egypt and how good it was of what they had been and how wrong Moses is to be leading them on this course and on this path and how much Moses has led them astray, wanting to overthrow Moses. Wanting to cast him aside, even though he is God's called man for the moment and the time, and God speaks through him. Called to be like those prophets of old. To endure as they endured. to face ridicule and hardship, mockery of this life. And indeed, that's the implication of what Jesus is talking about, why it would be blessed to be poor and hungry and weeping. It's because to follow Jesus Christ is the hard road, it's the narrow road of this life. It may in fact find us that we have a more difficult life to follow Jesus Christ than if we had gone along with the ways of this world and what this world had to offer. And it's easy on that path, on that road, for us to become a little hard and callous and perhaps even a little bit embittered. But Jesus calls us to something else a little bit later in Luke. Jesus is reassuring us that we don't have anything, as followers of Jesus Christ, we don't have anything to be anxious about in this life, because God will provide for our needs. He knows what we need and He'll meet our needs. In Luke chapter 12, he has this daring statement of how we ought to respond to when this world opposes us and stands against us and would crush us down, and how we ought to relate to the things that would blind out the things of God in our life. He says, "Do not be afraid, little flock, for as your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom." So you see here, He offers something greater. So how can we relate to the things of this world? Jesus says, "Sell your possessions and give it to the poor. Provide purses for yourselves that will not wear out, a treasure in heaven that will never fail, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Jesus comes to us and says, what do you value most in this world? It'll set a course for your life. If you value the things this world has to offer, the riches, the fame, the acclaim, the prosperity, the vitality, you have that reward. Enjoy it while it lasts. And you'll find at the end that your treasure was nothing and your heart sought nothing. But if your heart is on the things of God and the treasure He provides, you'll overflow with joy. You'll have all that you've ever wanted, truly, spiritually. You'll be the most generous of all, because you'll be free and liberal with the things that you have instead of close-fisted and tight-wadded. You'll experience the joy unending in the kingdom of God. So Jesus today says, check your heart. What do you treasure? What do you value? Are you content with the things of this world? Because you'll be discontent in the kingdom of God when He comes to rule and to reign. Are you content with Jesus? Are you contented with what He provides? Oh, you'll find yourself discontent with the things of this world, but you'll have eternal reward in heaven. So my friends, the marketers want us to be discontented this season. They want us to feel like we don't have enough. But Jesus says, no, be discontented with all that they have to offer, because Jesus offers so much more. Will you find your contentment in Jesus Christ during this season? Today, if you've grown content, discontent with what this world has to offer, I invite you to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior today. Will you pray? Heavenly Father, I come to You and ask us to unsettle us now. Help us not to be satisfied with the things of this world, more trinkets and more stuff, more standing and acclaim. Help us to be satisfied only with Jesus. Jesus offers everything we need. Help us to be full of Him. Help us to value Him, to treasure Him. Lord, I pray for the one now who has been satisfied with what this world offers. I pray that they would turn from that fruitless endeavor and turn to Jesus Christ and find life everlasting. It's in Your Son's name I ask all these things. Amen.